or you want to and take questions or whatever. We still have a couple of questions.
And that to me is Dr. Wang, he's not married.
So he's a single husband.
Thank you, ma'am, and thank you, ma'am, for the policy. The presentation actually is a summary of the documents that were circulated to members, our annual report. I'm going to try and explain the heading of the content captured in that document. And our presentation will cover the following topics, the introduction, what contained in the annual report, the strategic overview of the department in light of views by various stakeholders presented in the document, the program performance, and that will be presented by each program manager, and they are here for us today. And under the program performance, it will be a creation of jobs, and what are the missing that criteria. In the sort of outline in terms of the recent committee, maybe corrective measures. Obviously, members of the committee have in front of them a report, and it will sort of, it will draw an expectation from the department to come up with answers on what it is that we plan to do to correct some of the anomalies or some of the shortcomings that are depicted in the report. And then the conclusion. It's important, Madam Chair, to indicate that for the first time in the reporting financial year, that is 2006-2007, the department reported on two sets of financial statements, that of the department, the first and what it does, and the trading account in terms of what we receive from client departments and the services rendered by the Department of Commerce. And it's important to indicate that this will be the first set of financial statements on the trading account in the recent unquantified report. The performance audit was carried out on main projects of the department, and these programs were forced before part of the report. I've already indicated that we covered the financial year 2018, and we started on 1 April last year. Strategic focus. The department is currently refocusing from coordination to leadership with respect to the implementation goals. To some, subsequently seen as a body that merely coordinates and engages various stakeholders and is not successful at implementing certain issues. Of course, there are certain limitations or constraints, and those constraints will be addressed at that. What we call the process that we are backing in. What's important is the capacity building of the EPWC program and the youth in respect of the learnership programs and the massification of the EPWC program. The strong intergovernmental relations, although we are here today, there's a presentation by various departments at ICR, the Select Committee today, where we were going to sort of try and hone in those aspects to that committee. But again, how we interact with public municipalities and the state-owned entities, and how that interaction that shapes into what we call our own union, and the HOD forum, where a lot of information is shared at that level to ensure that there's synergy on how we can do that. The other strategic overview or issue that we need to touch on is the presentation and gathering of the construction charter by the Minister of Trade and Industry for climate and financial year. How that impacts on the charter that we are implemented at HWC. The charter that will indicate how public sector moves forward in positive impact on the both the property and the construction charter. The Lesotho that was held last year in November adopted about 8 or 9 territories. And we are once more going to another Lesotho in a week's time to look at how those were sort of implemented, but it also catch up in the very unlikely process that is public rights contribution to ASHVISA, and the rules that was approved into the National Infrastructure Management Strategy approved by Cabinet last year, are always drive that process in line with what other departments have been. I just came out of the Cabinet Committee, and at that Cabinet Committee we were discussing the role of the Department of Water Affairs and the Department of Education in terms of how they are currently carrying out their responsibilities in terms of NIMS. But NIMS remain a fundamental instrument for public works to use and direct other departments. The NYS, I'm sure it was sort of presented to the committee yesterday, and I will not dwell too much on that. The professional student bodies and the student experience. And then we also talking about the fact that under public rights itself, we've got the TDE, the Council for Built Environment, and under it, we've got councils, various other councils, which ideally must help us to firstly identify youth that are matriculated, locate them in certain institutions, and once, for an example, they become students at the University of Bern and they do engineering. As soon as they are done with their work, they get accommodated in one of the councils to go and get exposed to the practical side of things, get registered, and then they get qualified. But if you are from what we call the Bush, what is the university, let alone the institution, our councils are quick to say, hang on, you were not properly qualified, so you shouldn't even have gone there. Nevertheless, we do have graduates who are not skilled. Now it's time to take from the Cuban experience and say, because in Cuba, they do have those skills, they do have certain challenges, but they are also good at sharing their experience with us. It's time to import that experience and come and use it. It's a pity in the report it's not indicated, but in this financial year we'll be able to depict in future how we are going to support our countries to recognize the human experience and ensure that we can start to our community. The budget devolution in line with the CFMA features of transparency and accountability. Those practices are actually in the CFMA. Whether or not, what do I do as the accounting officer, public works, as opposed to various other accounting officers holding budgets that relate to work done by public works. And lastly, under the strategic objective, obviously looking at how we can maximize the performance of our assets in relation to our daily systems. And there are a whole range of issues from the sort of mentioned there, and I'm certain that the asset management component comes in. That indicated earlier, but I'm sure that I would only introduce the topic, the strategic overview, and obviously those who don't look at them and see them in the but they are church shopping the animals. And allow the service manager to then take us through speaking in terms of the asset management performance, and that will be your master plan.
Thank you. I think in response to read of the test that we are agreed with department, we initiated what we call action around structure in order to contract and find better ways of doing business with our stakeholders. Our general strategy is premised on four pillars. One is revenue generation and cost reduction measures. The second one is financing and restructuring. The third one is an integrated approach to what we call diplomacy and or administrative assets. The fourth one is the value enhancement of those particular assets. Of course, all of this needs a particular institutional reform or particular restriction. So currently, we are busy now with an implementation plan for the document system. On behalf of the Department of Foreign Affairs, as you all know, that the country won the right to put the Pan African Parliament, and in terms of the host agreement, we are expected to have Parliament by some date in 2010, which is the number one, as opposed to Galaga and State, which is currently in the United. The Department, in this regard, completed what we call options analysis. It's a constructed process which looks into various sites throughout the country until you arrive at a decision whereby you only have one site as an option in which you will use Parliament for that excellent effort. The second leg to that was the procurement option. How is this thing going to be financed? Is it going to be through security, traditional government funding, or any other method of funding such initiatives? Fourthly, which is currently the situation, we are at a stage now called competition phase, whereby the architects have submitted, they submitted plus or minus 200 sketches as to the form and nature of this particular parliament, and the shortlist was done. On the 5th, made it through to the shortlist, and I think on the 10th of November, an announcement will be made as to which a structure is going to be chosen for the construction of the particular parliament. We have a website to this effect, and the website is cacompetitionjustice.com.co.za. All of these decisions were taken by the new Interministerial Cabinet Committee on Pan African Parliament. As indicated before, that last year, around October, November, the Cabinet approved the National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy. This strategy does not only cover the national government department, it covers provinces, it covers municipalities, it covers state-owned enterprises. The institutional structure or framework of this opening is that the Minister of Public Works chairs, you know, the committee that provides political oversight, and the department chairs the steering committee at a practical level. On the issue of prioritized church challenge and maintenance, planned maintenance, we are saying we are in our second year now of prioritization process. Now we are also doing it over the MCF period. As indicated in answering some of the questions, we say we also up prioritize according to ECWC, NYS, ASA, and social consolidation. We have a planned maintenance budget committee that ensures that prioritization occurs according to plan. The user asset management plan, again, there was a question. This is what they intend. They measure
match them to be very objective with accommodation needs. I made an example of the Department of Social Development and Home Affairs to also verify accommodation occupied by the user and determine the functional performance of this accommodation, its utilization, gap analysis, the new accommodation needs. And this tool is also used for budgetary purposes. So when each department goes to National Treasury's MCAP for their accommodation needs, they will have in the asset management plan, funding, and budget decisions for accommodation related issues in the concern. We concluded an investment analysis framework which basically deals with the application of plans proposals for each property acquisition, refurbishment, exchanges, demolition, and disposal. It also enables us to come up with the proper or the most optimal option analysis structure and also provide relevant stakeholders with information and then give a clear picture of existing business topics. We'll recall that last year, in annual report, we have said we were busy with the process of signing memoranda of understanding with respective client departments. Now I can confirm that we have signed in plus or minus 98% of those departments in memoranda of understanding. But this memoranda or this memoranda need to culminate into what we call service level agreement. But in the service level agreement, we need to define what we call service delivery standards. Now we are busy with those standards, which are plus or minus 300 at the funding time. That will then form the date of the service level agreement, which in itself will culminate into a plan for this proposition. The department chair, the Border Control Operating Committee, we are currently spending, or we spend, 204 million on infrastructure or ICT upgrading at land, sea, and air costs. 43 of the 54 land ports of entry were also on the ramp program. In conclusion, we are now, for the first time, we have a national infrastructure maintenance strategy, a draft turnaround strategy, Arab phase 1 is indicated in this, service delivery standards have been defined, and African Parliament in progress, as well as the 2017 increase. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, we'll give it over to the operations. In the process of the implementation, how they will embrace all your aspects of PE, NYS, as well as ethical schooling in all the projects that we are doing. Our key aspect is to try as much as possible to see the figures in all our expenditures. That goes the figures of our capital or maintenance cycles, that goes to PE. We're trying to see it to see that increasing. Currently, to a large extent, most of our projects in capital or maintenance are unfortunately controlled by white company, or through the white company. So we're not seeing that much work for falling into your left hand and heart. We're also looking at the issues of improving physical service delivery. We have come up with a program of the Venezuela and Thoracic Association, and also then in the process of doing all our projects to ensure that we have a huge impact on the partnership, the fellow partnership. Our achievement, to a large degree, we have actually tried to reduce the gap in all our regional offices. In the past 3 years, the gap was as high as 24 million, but we have tried to reduce it down now to 6 million. Part of the work that we're doing in foreign affairs in all the ambassadors or ambassadorial offices, embassies, sorry, we're trying to work with Addis Ababa, the social management, in all work projects that are supposed to be implemented. One of our key approach to deal with the issue of BE, we have come with a property management strategy for all your BE-related projects. You will, I think in the last presentation, you were saying the total amount on our property management that is going to be in 10% of the total budget. And looking at it, the total budget, we're talking around 1.7 billion. And if you say 10% goes to BE, it is quite insignificant. So these strategies, to a large extent, is starting to engage exactly to how we're going to be rolling out this multiplication of also then in Israel, we have actually put in a call center for all the unpaid maintenance in Kimberley, GE, and Germany. Kimberley, when it comes to projects, we have done 35 million where we're doing a pipeline contract. We have done all those on the EPWP. In Mabato, we have identified projects to be implemented through your contract development program. What are the key challenges that you are experiencing? To a large extent, again, going back to the participation of the companies in both construction and property sector, the issues around the skill shortages in the whole built environment, and then the registration of professionals in the built environment in the and I think the DGP kind of covered the two skills and the registration. Another challenge is around the implementation of your occupational health and safety in all our buildings to make sure that our buildings become easily accessible to the disabled people. And the cost to make the digital building compliant currently is estimated at approximately 600 million if we were to start then the program of rolling out to make sure that all our buildings become compliant. And unfortunately, in this instance, we're looking only at government buildings. And I think if we look at all the other lease buildings, surely the budget is going to give a total advantage. The next problem we come to put the implementation on is the Tabitha Summit program, where the key aim of that program is to develop a framework for long-term accommodation solution to all government offices, particularly in partnership with the City of Fund. This program is collectively confined in the City of Fund. We're also trying to improve the standard of physical accommodation of national government head office in the inner City of Fund. While we do all these rollouts of this program, we are concentrating on the this is implemented within the inner city with a view of regenerating the inner city of Fund. Then working with the city, we have looked at to put the building is one thing, but to make this building accessible to all the users, we have looked at what are the kinds of multi-modal transport that we can basically implement within the community. To those that are quite familiar with your housing development, we are actually having a major train station that is going to be built up here in Salvador. And then how do you then maximize the benefits of having such a rail system within the inner city to make sure then that each and every aspect of the inner city, or each and every area of the inner city becomes even accessible? Then we're also then looking at issues of cost management and quality inclusion. And again, like in operation, to make sure that in the process of implementing this program, we also contribute significantly to the community. We are working with the social department of 33, national department, and their agents. So what we have done today, we have basically done 13 departments where we have identified their needs, where they are going to locate, and what kind of procurement process we are going to do in building their head office. We have also then developed this multimodal transport strategy of the whole inner city, and we have done, we have captured all the database of your land and buildings that are going to be affected in the project within the whole inner city. The value of land is expected that it's going to be around 120 million, but the strategy is that in identifying both land and buildings that are going to be used, we are strategically targeting all government land or parastatal land and buildings, those that are dilapidated, not in use, and land that is basically in lying vacant. And to a large extent, our key target has been Propnex, and we have identified a number of properties belonging to Propnex within the inner city. And then the branding of the program to a large in the city, you see all the billboards that are representing of the program in each and every project area we are going to be implementing at school. Four projects are already in under implementation. It is the city health upgrading, the building of the state library, 338 Chess Square, and we'll be starting correctional services up in Canada. What are the challenges? To a large extent, the whole capacity problem is related with the whole implementation of options analysis. We are currently short-staffed, and even your consultants are not quite consistent with the way of how we want this thing to be done. To a large extent, we're using the concept of capacity in line with national treasure, so to make sure that this becomes implemented, which is one of the things that we are dealing with. The viability of RKC affects other portfolios, and therefore there is a growing need to involve other ministries. Initially, when we were thinking of the project, we were thinking of simple technology. But these buildings have a huge impact around how the city is going to be working. So you find that the Department of Transport, the Foreign Affairs, Home Affairs, all of them become so to build that kind of understanding has been quite a huge challenge. In turn, the viability of the program is considered upon, among others, by the complex and slow site acquisition process. The site acquisition process, even though we identify those properties, from the date of identifying, striking the deal, up until the transfer to the department, it takes approximately 18 to 24 months. That has been quite a huge challenge, just dealing with that. And then, the whole development all along has been sort in line of process. So we are looking at it with to make a huge impact in the inner city. It should also make a lot of sense to look at another system just around the Maraba site area where to a large degree of gate, which is one area of the main specialty.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. Next one is the National Transport Program and the Policy Branch.
Thank you.
The grant is responsible for regulating the construction and property sector as well as promoting transformation and growth. We're also responsible for looking at good governance, promoting good governance in the management of these immovable assets. The highlights for last year, we've consulted quite extensively with the members in terms of the charters. As you are aware, the construction charter was submitted in February 2007 by the Department of Trade and Industry. In alphabet, we can mention that this year the property charter was submitted as well, and the group is ready to move to the next step of the implementation of the charter. And again, on military skills development, I think we've made a number of submissions to the members. That program is running with success. The issue with the military skills development is that they go to that training, and after that, we facilitate the veterans from private sector as well as agents in private sector. We've managed to do that successfully last year in terms of all the projects that were the graduates of that program. We've managed to host and implement the National Construction Week, and I think the members, they know this program. We initiated it as public work, but now it is a national program, not only for government, but for private sector. It's a program that is running on its own. It was an attempt to address the issue that was a problem in the construction industry, that is the image of the industry, where we're not able to attract the youngsters or retain the skills. We are having a lot of skills, like for a number of reasons, and this program, we think, is beginning to address this issue. The Giamma, the starting of the Giamma, the honorable members know about that, we certainly have a presentation on that. We successfully hosted a forum of cabinet ministers of public works last year. The forum seeks to coordinate information, sharing of information, sharing of best practices, and as far as operations as well as quality. So we successfully hosted that forum last year. The challenge with the diversity of the transformation charters, both of them, there is a need to align, because we can have the charters running, but there is a need to align our processes, procurement processes and civil processes in the department to ensure that we do implement. I think Jumita has mentioned one of the things that we're doing, which is promoting skills at the EE from the property sector. So we're doing all those things within the department. We need, sometimes it becomes a hassle to get private sector lined up to adopt both our students in the military skills program as well as the 2014 Youth Foundation. We need to work on the ground to make sure that at the right time we don't battle to get private sector to respond. Because right now, in terms of the charters, the private sector, they want students in terms of implementation of the charters. So we need to get that process lined up. Again, after launching the SADA Forum of Public Works, there's a need to, I think, because of change of leadership, which we have a little bit of a lull, and as the secretariat of that forum, we need to start the strategizing and the focus in that forum.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We start off by restating the purpose and objective of the Funded Public Works Program, which is a program by government across all spheres of government, including the state-owned enterprises, to create work opportunities training for a minimum of 1 million people, so that the unemployed and marginalized can gain productive employment. These are some of the highlights that we achieved in the previous financial year. The first was to respond to the president's comment, which he made after the July 5th, 2006, that the problem with the Department of Public Works, so that they've misunderstood their own information to the Department of Public Works. They thought that their role is prostitution when they are expected to provide the strategic direction. You remember when the program was conceived, 2003, there was this assumption that both provinces and municipalities would be able to implement the program on their own with limited support from the national department. We thought that our role was to develop guidelines, provide implementation framework, and then we expect that all provinces and municipalities would be able to implement the program. But I think the experience, which was correctly articulated by the president, was that there was, even projects also even confirmed that there was virtually lack of capacity at the municipal level. So since the cabinet of 2006, we have done a number of things. One was to create a new structure for the EPWC unit. That structure has been doubled now in terms of personnel within the EPWC unit. But we have also decentralized the structure to be close to where projects are or where things matter most at provincial and municipal level. We've got teams now that are facing the regional offices of the Department of Public Works. But again, what we, as part of that shift from coordination to strategic leadership, was to ensure that public works should lead by example in the implementation of the expanded public works. As you know, in the first year, second year, what public works was doing was merely to tell other people to implement the program. And there's little that public works was accomplishing. And I think if you listen to the two colleagues from asset management and from operations, there's now a general expectation that public works must use its own building maintenance portfolio, both to advance the expanded public works program, but also the national initiative. So we've seen a lot of improvement since all regions of public works, at least now, are actively involved in the implementation of this program. The third achievement is the Bukupile program. The Bukupile is the flagship of the program, it's a contractor development program. Of the expanded public works. The target for that learnership program is to reach out to 3,000 learners and assist these learners to set up their own contractors. Within those contractors, the contractor and school supervisor will be provided with training at different levels. Now we have received additional allocation from financial allocation from Department of Labor to roll out that program. Currently, the program has created about 750 contractors, and the idea is to reach the 2000 learnership by the year 2009. The fourth highlight, which we think is very, very important, which has been confirmed by various ways and studies that have done, is that more departments and public bodies are now participating in the EPWC. In fact, one of the recent survey or studies that we did recently, in fact, have actually said that the program is only now that is starting, which is consistent with our understanding initially that in the first year, because it was planning. Most provinces and municipalities were putting in place their plans to implement the program. And even in the way we have worked out the target for the first year, the idea was that in the first year you should have modest targets with the anticipation that in the second year and third year, it's only then that the program would be rolling out. So we have seen now more public bodies. Department starting to implement the program, and as a result, we've been able to create more work opportunities to the extent that the program will be on track in meeting its overall target of 1 million work opportunities. In February, we had the Kamoto Award. We intend to have this award session next year, February, March. It's where we recognize best performing departments, public bodies, in the implementation of the expanded public work. Next year, because that was the omission in the previous year, we didn't involve local government. Now, in the one that we're going to have next year, we intend to involve local government as well. The last point is on the additional resources that have been allocated to the implementation of the program. One of the things that we do as the national department, the EPWC unit, is to work with the national department and identify potential areas for the expansion of the program. And together with those departments, we prepare a business case and take it to the national treasurer. In the first instance, we went through that process with the Department of Social Development, Department of Health, to the extent that national treasurer allocated an additional 3.2 billion for the expansion of the program in the social sector. Again, last year, we went to national treasurer with the Department of Transport, but there was a general acknowledgement that there is a need for more investment in asset roads. And to that extent, the National Treasury has now allocated 4.2 billion dedicated for asset roads. And this allocation has been channeled through the provincial development funds and ultimately to municipalities, through the district municipalities. District municipalities and rural municipalities submit a proposal of these, to the provincial department for transport, and then they get those allocations. Again, another highlight is that the total wages that have been paid during the year under review is close to a billion. These are wages that have been paid by municipalities, provinces, in the form of stipends or allowances to the laborers in the program. Again, the program has created one of the indicators that we measure in the program are 13 years. 13 years is the duration of the duration that people work in the program, as funded by the government. And this would refer to that. And
so what is 13 years?
No. What you say, 30 years. You see, we assume that a person is supposed to work how many days in service in 65 days? It's about 200 days. 200, yes? Days that you work. So what we then do is to count the numbers that you work in the expanded public works program against the days that a person should normally work in a year. And then the training as well. The training days as well. Again, in terms of the code of good practice, which was negotiated at NetLex, it was agreed that a worker should go through a training for a number of days. So those days we consolidate them together so that we give you the total number of training days that people that participate in the program have gone through. Again, what we do as well, these are the number of work opportunities that were created in the year 2006-2007. What we attempt to do as well is to make a distinction between cross work opportunities and net work opportunities. Cross work opportunities refer particularly in the building sector, because some building sector generally labor intensive. Some of those jobs would have been created anyway. So what we try to do is to separate cross work opportunities from network opportunities, so that we can report on network opportunities rather than on cross network opportunities. And then what we also achieved in 2006, 2006 was the approval of the plan for the NYS. The NYS was approved, the plans were put in place, for December the plans were put in place, but it's only now that the implementation of the program has started. So in the next financial year, we support about what we've achieved. These are the targets that are indicated in the first year. As you can see, we started in a very modest way. These were the targets for the first year, 110,000. And of course, as the program grows or gains momentum, the anticipation was that in the as we roll out the program, the target will increase. And these are the cumulative parts, which indicated that the jobs that were created in the first year will be added to the jobs that will be created in the following year. And that cumulatively, it should help us or assist us to reach the target. In terms of challenges, what we are doing now, we are trying to improve the quality of data and reporting by public bodies. We are very, very strict. There's what we call the exclusion rule. If certain projects do not meet our data standards, we exclude those projects. So what this means is that there's underfunding on our part because we've excluded a number of projects, particularly projects that we think are not meeting the standard. For instance, projects that have no training components, they may have created work opportunities, and this is the case with most projects. They've created work opportunities, but because these are infrastructure-related projects, and they've not been designed in a way that accommodates training to take place, so we exclude those projects. We don't include them. And a number of other activities that are taking place at the municipal level and provincial level, which was excluded because we think that to be implemented. But again, the other challenge is to increase the labor intensity of the project. More labor intensive applications is involved, more than the possibility that we can create. Sadly, it's to improve our training. We have completely overhauled our training. Initially, the training was based on the code of good conduct, that was negotiated at NESNET. We're completely overhauling that training so that we can make sure that the beneficiaries, when they exit, they have a more meaningful training. And the last point is that we are mobilizing more public bodies, particularly municipalities, to implement the program. Currently, we've deployed a technical team which are resident in municipalities. These are services that we've controlled from the private sector, engineers, project managers, who are helping municipalities to identify projects, design those projects, and implement those projects. So we hope that in the following year, there will be more municipalities that are actually implementing programs. Thank you very
much.
to highlight what you want to highlight on chapter 4 of the agenda. That is the father's program. We just want to highlight that in the year under review, the department has an allocation of 5.6 million, and that of that, only 99 million was unspent by year end. And really, it's all as a result of the delay that our Habitat for Hunger branch had in acquiring the various properties for that way to be used to build and to facilitate for the various departments. And really, this is through no fault of the department in the sense that all those delays with the result of the department really taking a long time to share with us in our future needs. Mm-hmm. And we had to follow the prudent approach of waiting for that time before we do that. Well, as the DP said earlier on, that we prepared two sets of financials this year. Here we were just highlighting the revenue that but we stayed in our car. We speak during the year, and which is really the amount that was involved from the client department, and we have received a check in lieu of the sales that we came here. But you also want to highlight that because we are reporting on the transfers of our country, we had to honor the municipal bills for the month of for the last month of the financial year. But we had to recover the we were to recover those amount in detail from client department. Hence therefore we are reporting an operating deficit. But it's not a deficit because had we been on an actual account in the 2 years of the well, naturally, this is also something that the GP has under the authority. And now coming to another member, Harris, who is the longest serving member that I can see. This is just oversight during the days that we had a disclaimer from the auditor general. And for the last three financial years, we had unqualified audit report under the supervisor. But unfortunately for this year, the AG has qualified us in the mainland asset management. And Madam Chair, we don't need to contextualize it. This is by no means an indication of deterioration in the financial management practices of the department. It's really something correct that it was as a result of poor understanding between, you recall that a few years ago when the department was assigned the function of developing the army, the understanding that we had with National Treasury was that National Treasury would develop asset management guidelines as they relate to more of our assets. And that DPW through the YAMA will develop the asset management system on immovable assets. So one of the areas in which we are qualified is on immovable assets, which we were saying, actually, the YAMA is to take care of, but in the absence of the YAMA, then the PFMA system, the actual validation was at the YAMA. And therefore, with the RD, the qualification on the immovable assets, which of course also, as you were saying earlier, are more disclosure issues, things that we ought to have disclosed but could not disclose because of where the thing is. And the second one really relates to on movable assets on the facilities that the honorable members are using together with the executive. In that case, it was a good attempt, but albeit with unfortunate consequences, because we appointed a service provider towards the end of last year to do some inventory to develop an asset register for us. But it became apparent that their understanding of the asset wasn't adequate for them to do their job. For example, they would get into your houses and not distinguish between what are the personal assets of the occupants of the house and those of the state. So they would, in the asset register, they would just detail everything. And now when the agents attempt to reconcile these two, what is sitting on the loading system, which indicates the assets that are acquired by the state, they would pick up the discrepancy. Unfortunately, in the eyes of the AG team, that was still the agenda for the process. But it's something that the honorable member, Maza Mabuza, here, is working on this area being his passionate portfolio. So, as we can assure the honorable member that all these issues were just unfortunate, but we are addressing them and they will not appear as the reason for the qualification in future. But also we just need to highlight that we have prepared a comprehensive report that is attached to the where we cover all the audit findings that the AG has raised, as well as the management responsibility. And also in due course, would be coming with a with a comprehensive action plan, isn't it? On how we deal with this, with the timeline.
Madam Chair, this will be last point. Clusters together with the public information. Currently working on the model. The safety date is your payment scenario, especially to SME, which now means the performance agreement of accounting. And perhaps at a later stage, we will also ensure that there is a call center put in place for people to call to indicate the problem area, so as to allow the department to do the necessary investigation as to why it is that it takes longer than the prescribed 30 days to pay contracts of the ministry department. The human resource management will the presentation will be done by the person to
Can I do it from here? Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to look into the area of human resources in relation to how we are doing incapacitating the department. In the year under review, as it is indicated that there above, we had 995 vacancies in total in the whole department, including our regional offices. I think this was caused because the approach of actually filling the vacancies in the department, we relied heavily into the labor market to provide all that we need with respect to the scarce skills. And then we found that it was really very difficult to recruit because there were not sufficient people, and we were also struggling with other competitors in terms of actually attracting the skills. It also shows among the critical professional occupations that we had 220 vacancies. And then it shows also the filling of vacancies in terms of women and men in terms of percentages. When we go down, it shows the total number of percentages in terms of Africans, white, colors, and Indians, as is also required in terms of our Employment Equity Act. We are fully compliant, although progress in terms of this year under review, we are not yet at the stage where we can say we are satisfied, as you may see also the disability. As an intervention under the year, in this year under review, we had implemented a number of interventions, like the learnership program. The reason being that we realized that we need to train for ourselves because the department should actually try to assist itself in actually identifying matriculants and putting them into programs in the department, the purpose of which is actually to absorb them into those vacant positions. That could be both the long and the short-term strategy. The learnership was also coupled with the internship program and the young graduate program. It will also be indicated in the corrective measures as to what is it that we have done already to ensure that we ameliorate the 995 vacancies, which I think as of today, there is an extensive improvement which is going to be indicated in the current financial year. I think that is, in short, the presentation on HR matters.
And I think that's just the last slide. The strategic corrective measures have been taken earlier. Addressing the audit concerns as depicted in the AG's report and also in our annual report, especially the other methods of emphasis. But if we do not address the areas and methods and processes, it will become a complication come the end of the financial year. And obviously, we will be going back to the drawing board to generate a comprehensive plan in terms of how it's not going to work. We
we have had an opportunity to engage and set out our discussions in terms of how we can manage our portfolio. We think that in the mandate of the department has never been changed. And to ensure that our function, the departmental function, is a focus of the institution. We will also be embarking on a number of capacitation programs for the organization to increase contribution to the programs such as FISA, GISA, and Service Delivery Center. Obviously, the vacancy rate has been reduced as at the 1st of April this year from 900 to about 400 currently, with the two positions, GDG, Operation and Public Service, is continuously advertised and continuously re-advertised. Even if you look pictures here, myself, about 4 minutes besides media. So I at minister and I have at least it will be Obama. So that's the other problem. And unfortunately Obama by apply last minute we withdraw. So those are some of the things and I don't know, maybe we'll end up saving more blue seats. The human experience, looking professionals here, looking at external business launch and retention schedule. So, look on the GDG operation and corporate service. I need to reiterate that we're not there yet, because if you look at the percentage there, it says women 45%, men 55%. So, I don't think any other department in the whole of state will compare to us. We can both be there. The external business launch and internship program is in place and is looking at whether or not it's possible. The built environment and industry related skills improvement drive a complex scenario, Madam Speaker, but we will do our best to ensure that we improve in that regard. Means operationalized has been indicated that politically led by public work, steering committees led by public work, but there's a number of other issues and stakeholders. DPWT upscales and confirms in what we call the presidential call priority of priority projects and those steps before the cabinet comes today. And we're happy to hear from that sector that cabinet will address the issue of priority and not because treasury will come back saying there's no money. The transformation chapters are not cut on those procedures. Continuing on the issue of strategic corrective measures, improving corporate governance, anti-fraud and corruption measures known and never has been coordinated a successful seminar on anti-corruption fraud which we have invited a number of members. The only one is invoked as highly successful. The cooperation with public entities, provinces and public representative bodies, the devolution of budgets and trading accounts, the GMA implementation, audit and risk management, and the fact that we did not add, even though we're doing well, we do have now an established agenda for community development. We also address and look at the 10% indicated on persons with disabilities, so that persons with a women-led program, seeing men will be engaged in that. In conclusion, Madam Chair, the audit opinion on DPW concern, obviously, and hence we have presented to this committee what it is that we have to do to address the situation. And the fact that the trading account is something on the monetary terms to say on a surplus note. The EPWP continues to achieve this target, and we're hoping that it will continue to do so from the practice of that, as the implementation, where products are seen, felt, and people can say there's sustainability in the livelihood in terms of community profit too. The asset register is a top priority of the department. We did present earlier to this committee that it's like a checklist. You updated this year, you must update it next year. And there are certain things which should be done by related public entities linked to the department and government to help us alleviate that. The alignment of the Resalvisa Fund program in operation has been done.
will at a later stage be looking at whether or not it was going to Victoria or not look at other big entities. The HR retention strategy is also being saved, moving skills, but we're also not doing so well to ensure that people have got what we call a conducive environment to stay, and how we could improve from that. The property transformation has ahead to start the target indicator. There are certain timelines which the department is working to.
May we make this observation that just a word of caution to the DC that after conference in Limpopo, you must be careful that 5% lagging behind will be commanded by women. So that's just a word of caution.
I'm sure it was a clear indication for my partner that does not only survive because of me. I'm supposed to be in a press conference at one. My cabinet for this. Oh. So I'm not too sure whether the committee was going to break for lunch and then do questions afterwards, but I wouldn't mind if it's done now. I will come back after 20 minutes. And if there are related questions, I'll be able to answer them in their direction. But I'm not able to do it.
Actually, that's why we
requested
you to send the whole presentation so that you go to lunch and then hopefully that the member will come back.
It is highly recommendable that members do not come back after lunch.
Because what has happened here, we had an representative interrogation. Why not allocate this 20 minutes so that we finish this thing off? So that when we go off,
I think we've had a very long day, but it was very fruitful from the preparatory presentation we had here. But the first question I'm going to take is the slide on the extended public works process. What I want to deal with here, I appreciate that the department has worked very quickly in leading this program itself, because before it was not even allocated a budget. It was very minimal, and then there was no official knowledge that it was being provided by the department. But what I'd like to know now, that since this thing is inside the regional sales department, and then there's an allocation of balance in the country within the current budget for R96, what is the model of which is being used by the department or the extended public works program? Why do I ask this model, this question? Because when the community-based public works program was set out, we have this thing in mind that we have massive projects. It's a massive project which are going to employ a lot of people. The China way, you know, look at China now, they are building big bridges, big dams, employing a lot of people in the process of that. We had that, and then when we had later, we found Nigeria, South Africa, social, what was. So it was diluted in some one way or the other. So what model is being used? So that's when you oversight it, we really have all the tools at hand something with that. The model is the UK Chinese model, Indian model, the Australian model, whatever. Which model is it? Or which one? Or is it a mix of all the models from there? People can get clarification on that one. And then the other aspect which is making me very happy is the issue of the resident technicians or engineers or people being allocated to municipalities to help people of capacity. Which municipalities have been allocated? Because we have about 194 projects consolidated municipalities. Where are they? Because if you have an agreement with municipalities, they are not there. But about all the projects are just, they are not done up to the standards which you expect. Who can be indicated where are these projects? Are they in the district? Or how many districts are there which is being allocated? And then the last one is the issue of the historically advantaged companies and individuals, which are still getting a lot of work from the National Capital Project. Really, I think we've been happy on this thing for quite a long time. When are we going to end the call? What is this people going to do to ensure that we really turn the corner? Because it is 10% of the maintenance budget, which is done by historical disadvantaged companies, then we are in serious trouble. Because really we must solve. Because now they will reach the phase of our revolution. Look, we are involved in the economic struggle now, no longer the total economic struggle. So when are we going to turn the corner? I think I'll take this three and then
people.
Thank you, Comrade. I think it's from the operation program, means I had some questions. Your operation program is achievement, means that you show to the skill shortage in the built environment induction. But yesterday, in the presentation for the national youth, in the service in the this environment that you say, you already training over the 5,000 youth. Then now I want to know is how many you still show in the your department how to deal with this issue for the your skill shortage. Then the second one is I want to know you from the. I think this presentation yesterday I said someone from the department. Then today is going to show the one. From inside, I see for in the case of the Mabato for the six projects are identified through the CIP and the constructor already on the site. But you second paragraph you say in the case of the Mabato, in Mabato and the photo illustrator, actually you expenditure for the new lease to the BE company higher than the 39%. I don't understand this one. Then you say if major against a target of the 15%. This one is I think this figure I don't understand for this figure. So can you describe for this one? Also in the other one is your achievement is the number 38 church square. You complete the design 38 million only for design. 38 million. Then. I want to know what this guy saying.
Yes, I thank you for the quality one. Mr. Matuma and then Mr. Numa.
Thanks, sir. You know, I have a series of questions, but I'll give it because of the time constraint. Yeah. You know, Comrade Manza is the winner in this study.
Yeah,
because it was intimidating. Well, sir, I think one area that I will focus on a certain point is around the question of the BEP in terms of the exit strategy. Mm-hmm. One is obviously that the ministerial forum that took place for the African ministers in public West would have looked at the question of the exit strategy for the in Africa. The challenge is always that of opening doors to the country, to the white established companies to do business in Africa. But we don't have a sense in terms of developing a strategy that would enable even the BEE to partner with these established companies so that they're able to do business in Africa. I think that's the challenge that Federal Development also leads to, because if there isn't any kind of efficient answer to that problem. But also, even at a local level, in terms of some of these EPWP projects, you find a situation whereby you have got EPWP projects that would have focused to learnership. But when the program itself is completed, you sort of at this find a scenario whereby these people will still go back to this history of the unemployed. Precisely because there is no follow-up project that enables them to sharpen their theoretical understanding of the industry in terms of the training that was provided by the department. So this is some of the areas when we're doing oversight to sort of get people say that this is our part of the EPW project, a year or 2 years, but now I'm unemployed. That means that this is person is even now worse than what he or she was. Because there was no this thorough transformation of this person to be a better person from the very first project. I think that's a challenge. But also, in question of stipend, chairperson. Stipend remains a challenge when we visit provinces. People keep on saying to us as the portfolio committee, we are getting 30 rands, we are getting 40 rands, we are getting 50 rands. Which is this? So that people would be able to understand some of these decisions are taken at the provincial level. But at least there must be some kind of coordination at the national level by the Department of Public Health, so that people out there would be able to see at least intervention. Because if it is an intervention program, at least it would make me a better person whilst I'm still employed. But if I'm not I've finished that job, but I can still be able to just start some work on my own or be engaged in another follow-up project. I'll end there so far, but I've got a series of questions. I'm really protesting services, but I can't do otherwise. Time and the leadership around the table is against me.
I'm sitting in the same position. intimidated. Yeah. I have questioned on a few slides the operation on your achievement on the draft property management strategy for BE, poverty alleviation, job creation, and development. We have projects that ensue thereafter and job creation. Has this been implemented? Where is it implemented? The second one would be on NPWP, the highlight there, the successful participation between private sector and the graduates. Is there a number, a breakdown of these graduates? And then the location where they are. Did they get a scholarship and did it in any institution? Is it working? How is it working? The last one on the slide will be on the human resource management. I can see all these figures, but is there a plan? Human resource plan, or we're just reducing the figures as we see the figure, or is there a plan that can be tabled to us? The last one, Chairperson, will be a constituency matter that I have to raise. Devon Choice Police Station. air conditions were stopped functioning last year, October. Reported last year, October, to the Department of Public Works. They didn't pitch up. They sent somebody who came in to see what they were talking about in December. Nothing has happened. Sometime this year, when the Department of Airport started planning, I saw somebody representing Devon, and I approached him. He was going to take this matter up. Obviously, this matter is still, Devon is very hot. You know, in the winter, the lowest temperature can get is 12. It's very hot, day and night. If the department could take this matter up. On top of this, in June this year, there was a fire in Devon where a hotel was burnt down. That hotel was housing the investigating unit of this police station. From then, this police station has requested an accommodation because they have got no accommodation whatsoever. You go there. All the investigators have their files in the boot of the car. They operate from the boot of the car. And then they have names of people that have been approached, and then the police have done everything in their power. The department is not just moving. That is the constituent matter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, on the asset management, I think I have got this question on the Canadian Parliament, the estimated value of the construction of that Parliament, and as well as the estimated number of jobs to be created when the construction starts. I think that really could be given out of the five contractors. Then on Rekhadisa's file, I realized that most of the construction which is being planned for the Rekhadisa's improvement, it looks as if it is in the city of Paris. My worry is how are we going to close the economic divide between the former township or the township as well as the city? If our priority when we do this construction are around the towns or cities also. Yeah, there was also this other question, I think, on the presentation of the DPG, whereby you made mention of the fact that some projects which do not need or require training. I think if you could expand a little bit, because from my side, I don't think that each and everything that the person does, you know, there would be one way an element of training. So I was a little bit worried if you said some projects which did not really require training. The last one, part one. On the contractor development program, I just wanted to know whether there are mental guidelines which have been crafted. Because I'm saying this because times when we do our oversight visit, there are different standards practiced by the mentors. Whereby I think when we were in another area, you know, we were told by the mentors when
we have certain queries on what was being constructed, I think it was a school. Then the mentor was saying he visits the site maybe once over a period of 4 weeks. So I think if in such cases then you need to be developing something like guidelines if there are. But if there are no guidelines, then you need them to be making those guidelines. I think here's the last one here, and these the others. On the human resource management. I've realized here on the employment profile that we made mention of, I think on the slide, it was Africans, colors, Indians. There is a huge cry from another community that also resides here in the country, the Chinese community, who I see they do not feature anywhere here. And I know that there's a huge cry from that community that they are finding themselves wanting, because we have those Chinese who are born and bred here in the country. So they do not know whether they fall under white, they fall under black, because in the past they were falling used to fall under Asian. So it covered them. But now the problem now, they do not know where to be.
With the aim of empowering the youth and the women. But I think the main problem we're having is access to finance and how to use. We see the challenge. And for this, the three companies that have had contracts, that contracts are about to expire, but and what I'm doing with the in order to empower our own company. The other one is about the construction sector. I think we still have a problem, a slight problem. I mean, as we do with the problem, it doesn't come to the party. Lastly, I think it's all about the construction and property sector transformation charter, if I'm not mistaken. From last year, you promised to come and do the presentation. Or did you? Maybe because they're happy. Okay. lastly, regarding the issue that we see, at local government level, there are these funding that come from national, the feed and the group. There is some discounter there when it comes to the monitoring of the actual project. And again, on the ECWC principles, when you go to this, for instance, you went to housing, these projects that are worth 300 million, we are just told that this is too technical for ECWC. I mean, I'm being honest, we're there. Some of the projects that we do, we're told that. And the empowerment of women and to see the treatment staff are of pressure. That is it so far. Because we've run out of time. Unfortunately.
Thanks, Chair. Second, in the absence of the DG, I'm informed that I need to clear the ship now. The approach we want to adopt is that the colleagues will deal with the issues relating to them. And I'll ask Mr. Policia to deal with all the ECWP related issues, including construction, etc. You'll be the first. The second will be Mandla dealing with the historically disadvantaged communities or companies. And naturally, the situation will deal in depth with the model. that member had been detected. Vanelle will deal with the PE as the strategy, and the Dume will deal with the operations achievement as well as RKTP project, City Visual Township. Sam will deal with HRM. And naturally, these people will deal with the NPWP highlights, including the contractor incubator program. Spiro will deal with the asset management issues as they relate to PAP and jobs to be created. I will deal with, I will immediately deal with member Nomalo's one on the on constituency matters. I must say that I'm disappointed that these matters have not been raised because it has not been so, particularly the one on the police stations, the challenges. But I can actually make the undertaking that immediately after this meeting, I will take this up with our debit office, as well as now the accommodation needs that have arisen as a result of the fire. But we'll take it immediately after this.
Well, sir, on the first question on the model, I would say, our model is based on our experience locally in the implementation of the public works program. It was a long history of implementing this program. And some were good, some were bad, the plans and businesses on each of these programs. But also the international experience that we have had in this year. And one of the things that we have actually done with the EPWP, which is different from the community-based public works program, is that the community-based public works program has a separate budget. But the idea with the EPWP is to tap on the existing budget. And we think that there's more advantage in tapping on the existing budget. Because instead of focusing on a separate budget, they are focusing on a broader scope of funding. For instance, with the infrastructure, if you remember, in 2004, with the infrastructure, the idea was that out of the 45 billion that was set aside then for the TIG and the MIG, the expanded public works program would target about 15 billion. The logic was that even if you had a separate funding, you would not have 15 billion set aside for the expanded public works program. So the idea of reorienting the existing budget was here to ensure that you are able to tap on a bigger slice than, to put aside 300 million. I think the budget of the community-based public works program was not even more than a billion. It was much more than a billion. So the idea was that if you set aside the separate funding, people would simply say there's that funding which is dedicated for the funding, and there would be no incentive to tap on the bigger slice. So I think that's one of the things that we did with the funding of those programs. But of course the challenge, which I think is what the Madam Chair was raising, is to make sure that on the PIG and the MIG, we enforce that municipalities and provinces must implement the program where it is feasible and appropriate. Now, initially, we would rely on municipalities to tell us that this is not possible to implement the CWP on the project. But now our approach has changed. We've got technical people now. They're engineers who work with other engineers from municipalities. We're able to tell them that this thing can be done. Because what they used to do was to tell our guys that this thing is not going to work. And because people didn't have any technical expertise, they would simply accept, that explanation. Even mayors, the officials at municipal level, they simply go to mayors and say, this thing is not going to work, because if we do it, EPWP, it's going to take time, it's going to, have more cost, and so on. But now with the engineers or technical people that were placed close to municipalities, they are able to engage, they are professionals who are working at municipal level and convince them that this thing can be done and show them how to do it and so on. So that's one thing on the model, to say it's based on our experiences, but also the international experience where it's been very successful. But again, another thing is that with the EWP, we've gone beyond the infrastructure. Because infrastructure, one of its challenges is that it provides short-term work opportunities. And we've moved into areas like the social sector. In the social sector, in fact, people remain in that program for something like here. They end up being permanently employed. In the environment of threat, they're working for water. People have been in that program for a number of months and years. So that's the idea, to look for more opportunities where we can engage our people. Now, in terms of the resident in municipalities, the target for now is 130 municipalities. That includes district municipalities and local municipalities. We can provide you with the list of those municipalities where we have big people involved. But again, our experience is that project consolidate does not necessarily talk to lack of capacity in the implementation of the public sector. Because these things are not the same. In fact, the 36 municipalities of the project consolidate do not necessarily fall into the list of our list where capacity is actually needed. The issue of exit strategies, this is the matter that you are attending to in different ways. Where we have made a lot of investment, like in learnership, because learnership is a structured program, a two-year program, and we have invested a lot of resources. We make sure that we take responsibility in accessing those people into other opportunities. But also we work with the municipalities, particularly for ordinary laborers in the program, to make sure that as you design the program, you must think about other opportunities in your community so that people, even in the kind of training that they receive, it should not necessarily be project specific, but it should also enable them to take advantage of other opportunities that may arise in that community. The issue of stipends is a very difficult one. From the beginning, we recognize the fact that we are not going to be able to have standard stipends because of a number of reasons. Affordability, amongst other things, municipalities have different affordability levels. Metro, as one of the metro, is paying 80 rand a day, whereas a small municipality would only afford to pay 40, 50 rand a day. But again, the idea was that when we design stipends, we should not displace people from other sectors. Because you see, once you have higher stipends in the EPWP, people would simply leave their jobs and change for those projects of the EPWP, particularly for the particularly in areas like the Mpopo, people who are working in farms there. Some of them have left those jobs for EPWP because they think that EPWP projects are paying better. But again, this is the issue that we have addressed with Treasury. Treasury was, for the first time, they were saying we need to look creatively on how they can top up, the wages that have been paid by public bodies and municipalities. We are working on a proposal today. Projects do not require training. In fact, I was saying the opposite. I was saying we are very strict on training. As a result, we exclude projects, even if they've created work opportunities, if they don't have training. Hence we have an exclusion rule, which among others would say, if a project doesn't have a training component, it's not included. On the issue of mentorship guidelines, we have mentorship guidelines. But the problem is monitoring. Public bodies, the municipalities, sometimes they don't take it upon themselves to monitor those mentors. You find that you appoint a certain mentor, but that mentor sends junior people, to projects, and then he concentrates on other, opportunities in another area. So these are things that we're working on. The construction sector.
My problem here, you see, with this particular contractor, was that whilst we were complaining about the mentoring, he was telling us that he was having so many other projects that he had
to do,
which were given to him.
That's the monitoring of the building. The construction sector has made a huge improvement. Remember, it was having serious financial problems. They've made a turn now. Things are improving there. but it's going to take some time. In fact, we have helped them a lot in ensuring that they get more funding from the NSF and from the Department of Labor. Because the reason why they got into Benga is precisely because they were one of the teachers that were more willing to support the PWP. And unfortunately, the financial management issues were not considered. So we actually, I think they're making a turn now with the new management there. They're really making a turn. We're quite impressed with the changes that they've made. The issue of milk is the point that I was raising, that milk is the main source for their funding, source of project for the project. Hence, we now work very closely with the municipality in ensuring that we optimally utilize milk. Even Treasurer raised this concern that the allocation to milk doesn't correspond with the number of projects that are implemented in some territory. So we are actually working very closely with those technical people that were placed there. And I think in the year 2007-2008, we're going to see a different picture, particularly those municipalities were provided support. Even with big projects, we're not saying all big projects must be implemented later intensively, but there will be certain activities within a big project. And this is what even the state-owned enterprises, ESCOM and others, are failing to grasp. That you can have a big project, but if that project is planned properly, there are certain activities that you can use manually or use labor. So you just need if I go there and talk to the engineer in ESCOM, he will tell me that this thing doesn't work. But if you send another engineer, you know, use your head counterpart, it becomes much easier.
I'm going to go to the hospital.